We're starting on the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, about six lines down. The Gemara brought a memrod by Rabba that tried to compare Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that they had the same opinion. Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah, who discusses the fact that when it comes to extra tircha, we try to allow you to do that extra tircha to avoid doing extra melachot. So Gemara tried to compare that to the situation in which Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka discussed, which was the Korban of Pesach that fell out, Erev Pesach b'Shabbos, and they had to take off to do the flaying of the Korban of Pesach. And now the Gemara is going to make another attempt. Elo Amar Rabba, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Chanina, Skan HaKohanim, Amru Davar Echad. It's not. Rabbi Chanina, Skan HaKohanim, Omer, B'Shabbat, Niksar B'Yachid, B'Magal Echad, B'Kupa Echad. Rabbi Chanina, Skan HaKohanim, was mentioned in our Mishnah, says that they used to cut it differently when it came to Shabbat. They used to use Niksar B'Yachid, only one individual did it, B'Magal Echad with one sickle, B'Kupa Echad in one basket. U'Bechol, but when it was on a weekday, B'Shalosha, three people, Shalosh Kupot, three baskets, and Shalosh Magalot, and three sickles. So you see, there's a difference over here between Shabbat and Chol. The Chacham Yomri makes no difference. Echad Shabbat v'Echad Chol, B'Shalosh Kupot, B'Shalosh Magalot. They do everything together. Where everything's three, it's the same way on Shabbat. It says it is on the weekday. So the Gemara says, Milo Kama Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim. Isn't the position Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim Hotam Kevin to Efshar? Since it's possible, Lo Tarchinon. Since it's possible, we don't make the extra effort. Achanami Kevin to Efshar, Lo Tarchinon. Since it's possible to do it with less, in our case, by the Omer, since you could do it with Shlosh Sa'im instead of five Sa'im, we say, go ahead and do it in the Shlosh Sa'im. So it's over here. Since you could do it with one person instead of three people, we say, go ahead and do it with one person. We minimize the Chilul Shabbat that there is. So in this case, we minimize the number of people. In that case, you minimize the number of Sa'im. It says, Mimai, why do you have to say they're saying the same thing? Dilma, Adkan Lokama Rabbi Shmuel Hocha. Rabbi Shmuel is only saying you go from five to three Sa'im. Ela Deleka Persume Milta. Because with the issue of five Sa'ah or three Sa'ah, there's no issue of advertising the fact that they're doing the omer of a adam by the case of one person versus three people. Deika presume milto. Then there is something that makes it much more public. Emak rabbanan really. Maybe he holds like the rabbanan that you do with three no matter what because of presume milta. Remember the rabbanan, the prushim were after making a big deal out of when they brought the omer. It was a mishnah said because to go against the tzdukim who believed that it was mimachrat shabbat, literally after shabbat. So Chamim went out of their way with the Ketzirat Omer when they didn't do it on Sunday, when they didn't do it in Merchad Shabbat, publicize it as much as possible to show or to lafuke minat dukim. So inami, the other way around. Al kanu kamar Rabbi Chanina skin hakohanim. How tom? That Rabbi Chanina skin hakohanim says no difference. Id bechad ibishlosha tzorach kavah mit avid keochato. Whether you use one person or three people, they can still cut. They can still do everything that's needed for hekdesh. Aba hocha over here where you use three sa'ah versus five. It's not the best way to do it. Again, if you use five sa'ah, you end up with solit mina solit. You end up with the finest because you don't have to sift so much. It comes out right away. Whereas if you use three sa'ah, you have to sift it over and over again. You'll get the solit, but it won't be hamuvcheret. It won't be the best of the solit. It won't be the finest of the solit. It'll still be solit, which is sufficient. So since here there's a degradation or a diminishment in the tzorach gavoah, emek rabbanan svirle. Maybe Rechanina Skan HaKohanim believes like the rabbanan. And not like Rabbi Shmuel. Alright, so then we rejected that comparison between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim in our Mishnah. Elam Rav Ashi, the next attempt. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi Amru Davar Echad. Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi said the same thing. That's not. Ben Shinire Ba'aliyo, Ben Shlo Nire Ba'aliyo, Michalulin Alev Et HaShabbat. This is talking about the sighting of the new moon. And Ba'aliyo means you saw it in the open sky, whether you didn't see it in the open sky. So the Edim, whether they saw it in an obvious place where you can assume that there were others that saw the moon as well, whether they saw it Shalom Ba'aliyo, where they probably are the only ones who saw it, no matter what the case is, Michalan et Shabbat, they come up and they come to testify in Yerushalayim al zeh. Yosi Omer, Im Nireh Ba'aliyo, Im Michalanim et Shabbat. If it's obvious, if they saw it up in the clear sky, and it's pretty obvious that someone else would have seen it, then they're not the Michal Shabbat to come up to Yerushalayim. Milo, my Rabbi Yosi, Hotam. Is it Rabbi Yosi saying, Kevin to Efshar, since it's possible to Mekadish the Chodesh without the Chilul Shabbat, Lo Tarchinan, we don't tell him. We tell him, don't come up and do the extra Chilul Shabbat in order to be Mekadish the Chodesh. Where it says, Achanami, Kevin to Efshar, Lo Tarchinan, since over here also, where you could do with three sa'ah instead of five sa'ah, we also say don't do the extra work on Shabbat. Mimai, how do you know these cases are comparable? Dilma, akan lo kama Rabbi Shmuel hocha ela deleka nimtzeit atamach shilan atid labo. In our case of the Omer, if you do it with three or you do it five, it has no implications for the future. Avahatam, over there by the Edut HaChodesh, the nimtzeit atamach shilan atid labo, there are implications for the future, because if you tell Edim, don't come, don't be Mechalel Shabbat, the following year they also think that way. People will get into the habit of not coming, because they always think there's someone else there that is going to see it and come, and therefore we don't have to be Mechalel Shabbat. And eventually you're going to end up in a situation where they don't come and there's no one else. So we don't want to do that. We want everybody to come, even in situations where it's obvious, in order to promote them coming in the future. So there's a reason to do this. So Emek Rabbanim Tzvirlei, maybe he holds like the Rabbanim. Ini Nami, the other way around. So he says, listen, Rabbi Yossi says, the reason that I say don't be Mechalel Shabbat, because your Chilul Shabbat has no benefit today. And therefore you can't be Docha Shabbat. The whole benefit of telling them to be Mechalel Shabbat is Latid Lavo, is in the future they'll come again. There's no value in them being Mechalel Shabbat today, because we know that the Kiddush HaChodesh will happen even without them. So the reason we're telling them to be Mechalel Shabbat is that in the future they'll still come again. That's Chilul Shabbat, lo l'shem Shabbat zu. It's not for the Shabbat, so there's no Tzarech Gevoah that's being done today. But of Ahacha, maybe in our case, the Ikar Tzarech Gevoah, that in our case where there's a benefit of doing it with five versus three, v'nitna Shabbat l'tchot, and it's permissible to be Docha Shabbat, because you're already doing the three, then Ebekur Rabbanon Tzvirlei, maybe he holds like the Rabbanon. So there Gemara leaves it. So after all these attempts to compare Rabbi Shmuel to other positions in the Mishnayot, the Gemara in the end says it's all different. Each opinion relies on a different set of circumstances and a different case, and therefore they can't compare between them, whether it's Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshio and Rabbi Yochanan shel Baruka, whether it's Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi that we just had, or whether it's Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim that's in our Mishnah. We can't compare any of these cases because each one has a slightly different nuance, which means that they may not hold of the other's position. Now we have a statement by the Gemara. Itma shachat shtecha ta'ot shel tzibur v'eino tzarich ala achat. It was on Shabbat, whether it was Shabbat Chol HaMoed, something that fell out in a manner that there was a Seir of the Tzibur, which is that the Seir, the Chatat of the Musaf. But in addition to that, he's shechted an additional Seir of the Tzibur, for instance, a Seir Le'avodah Zarah of the Tzibur, and he did it on Shabbat. So he thought, everything, Karbonot Tzibur can be Doche Shabbat. Obviously, when it's Zman Kavua, like a Seir of the Musaf, that's true. But when we're talking about something like the Seir Avodah Zarah, that's not Doche at the Shabbat. So here he made a mistake. So Amar Rabba, V'itayim Rabbi Ami, Chayav al Ashniya, you're Chayav on the second one. Upatur ala rishona. The first one you're patur, because that was necessary to use on that day. Whereas on the second one you are chayav. Va'afilu nitkaper lo b'shnia. Even in the end, if you end up using the second one, for whatever reason the first one was found to be pasul, and you do need the second one in the end, nevertheless, you are chayav. Va'afilu nitzeit rishona kchusha. And even if the first one was found to be kachush, weak, or not as good, and we know that then there's a possibility that you should check the second one that is shmeina, that is a better quality, nevertheless, you're chayav in these cases. So mi amar Rabba, hachi? Did Rabba really say such a thing? V'hamar Rabba. Hayulu fanav shtei chataot. Achat shmeina v'achat kuchusha. He has two chataot possibly to bring. One of them is nice and fat. One of them is a skinny, not as good quality. Shachat shmeina, if he shechted the fat one, the one that's of the higher quality, v'achakach shechat kuchusha, chayav. Then he did the weaker one, is chayav, because there's no way we're going to trade off the fatter one for the skinnier one. So that means that the second one that he shechted was unnecessary, and therefore he is chayav. Now chayav, we're talking about over here, he's a shogeg, because he was omer mutar in this case. He was a case where he said he thinks it's mutar, not that he's doing it b'mezi. V'kushu chusha v'achakach shmina. On the other hand, if he did the weak one first, and then the fat one, he's patur. V'lo od, elo shomim lo havesh shmina l'chadchila b'shachut. If he shechted chusha, and then they realized they had the shmina, we say, bring the shmina and use that. So we see that we allow you to be mechalel Shabbat, even though you have something that's ready, in order to make it a better quality karban.
Patur
there sounds like patur of alasur. Velo od says no, not even patur of alasur, but lechatchila we tell you to go ahead and do it.
And then
the Nishmana
came up. So you don't check
the Lechatchila. That you do, because that's what he says.
He said, yeah. You have two in front of you, so you should check the
Shmina. No, that's after he's done the Chusha already. They say to him, come bring the Shmina. He already did the Chusha. They bring in a Shmina, they say, do it l'chatchila, shech the Shmina now. Now l'chatchila means that we don't say that if you did it, it's okay. Now we're saying, if you bring it in here, do it anyway. That's l'chatchila over here. See, by Zema, so some of them say, samik chusha mikamaita. Take out chusha from the first case. The first one where we brought down, itmar shachat shtei chataot. And over there we had the statement of Amar Rabba, v'itayim Rabbi Yami chayv l'shniya, for tu arishuna, v'afilu nitkab lo b'shina, v'afilu nimtzei b'shina chusha. That line of v'afilu nimtzei b'shina chusha, wipe that out of the first brayta. And that way we can reconcile it with the position of Rabba. That's one possibility. V'ibayitayim ahi Rabbi Yami amra. Remember in the first brayta it says, Amar Rabba, v'itayim Rabbi Yami. So let's assign the first brayta to Rabbi Yami, and the second brayta will be Rabba, and then we won't have a problem anymore. Because once you've done that, then you don't, it's really a memra, it's not a brayta here. We'll assign the first one to Rabbi Yami, and therefore we won't have a stira between the two memrot of Rabba. Amalei Ravino, the Ravashi, Nimtzei tarishona chusha b'bnei ma'ayin mahu. If the first one is not externally apparent that it's chusha, but we only find later on that its innards are not so good, such good quality, what's the din? Boter machshavato aslina, do we go after what he was thinking, and this person intended for it to be something that was asur. Again, the asur here is not doing b'mezid, but b'shogeg, he thinks it's mutar to do such a thing, which is that he shechted the two animals, he didn't think there was any deficit in the first animal, and he went ahead and shechted them because he thought it was mutar to do shkita like this on Shabbat. So then we say over there, that he should be chayav, odilma, but there masav azlinin, or do we go after the outcome? The outcome in the end is that the first one is chusha, now he needs the second one. Now that he needs the second one became the mafreya. Retroactively, that shek and shkita became okay. So maybe we should go that way. So malay, lav hainu derabo verovo. Isn't this the machloket rab and rovo that we've seen in other places? Which is, dit ma shama shetavatinok beyam. They heard that a baby had drowned in the water. For us, mitzuda lalot dagim. And he went fishing. He decides he wants to go out and he goes fishing at the time. Fela dagim, and he got fish. Chayav. Over there, there's nothing to talk about. He went fishing. He's doing tzeda on Shabbat. It's chayav for that. Lalot dagim. He intended to get fish. He went to go fishing. Vela dagim vitinok. And by chance, he happened to bring up not only the fish, but he also brought up the baby. Rova amar chayav. Viraba amar patur. The Girsa here reverses, which is not that they changed the names, but just the order. Should just say Rava amar patur. Rova amar chayav. Va'adkan. Rava lo kapator. Lo amar Rava. Lo kapator Rava. Elakeven dishama. The only reason Rava says you're patur over here is because he knows about the news that there's a baby in here. So over there we can say Amrina Namidate Atinok. We say even though he went fishing, at least he had in the back of his mind that there was a baby there that he could pull out. Avaloshamalo. But in a case where he never knew, there was no information up front, then we'll say no. So that case is our case. Our case here, we shechted the behemah up front. He had no idea that it was Khusha when he shechted the second behemah. When he shechted the second behemah, then there's nothing in there, no information available to him that he needed the second behemah. It's only later on do we realize that the behemah unlike the case of Tinok, where at least he had the information before he went ahead and did the malacha. So he says, whether it's Rava or Rabba, it sounds like in this case you'll be Chayab because the information was only presented later. So some say that Amalei, Hainu Pluktai Rabba Rava. Not that he comes along and says, you know, maybe this is similar to that, and then we'll say they don't agree, but no. This is the machlokes between Rabba and Rava. Ditmar, Shamashatova Tinok Biyam, they heard a pet drowning baby, Paras Mesuda, and then he put out a trap or a netting. Alot dagim, he was going fishing. Ve'alat dagim chayav, he brings up fish. He's chayav. Alot dagim ve'alat tinok vidagim, he was successful bringing up the baby as well. Rabba amar patur, but Rabba amar chayav. Why? Rabba amar patur zil batar ma'asav. Well, after what he did, in the end, he was successful to bringing up the tinok. So even though that may not have been his intention when he started, in the end, that's what his masa turned out to be. His masa in the end, retroactively, is poter him from the action of tzedah. On the other hand, Rabba amar chayav zil batar ma'asav. He's chayav because we look after his original intent. His original intent was to go fishing. Goes fishing, you're chayav. And that'll exactly be your question over here. Your question is, do we go after intent? Which is here, he intended to shech both animals at the beginning without any consideration of it being chusha, and therefore he is chayav. Or do you go batar maaseh? In the end, he needed the second behemah. Since he needed the second behemah, should be patur. That would be the position of Rabba. So that would be the machloka. The answer to the question will be machlokas Rabba v'Rava.
Go batar maaseh, then let's say you just intended to go fishing, he brought up, I don't know, seashells and dug in. You wouldn't say it would be putter there, would you?
It has to be something, an action that otherwise would have been mutar. Bringing up the tinok is an action that would have been mutar. He's permitted to do that in order to save the tinok or to bring the tinok up. That is permitted. So you have to have an action that's permissible and an action that's asur. And he backs it and ended up with the action that is mutar.
And wouldn't then, even if he brought up just the dakin, wouldn't it be mutar because it's our shameless carving? So you see it sometimes.
No, that's if he originally intended to bring up the baby. That's fine. But here it's clear that they said that originally he just went fishing. He didn't intend to bring up the baby. You're right. If he went in originally to get the baby and by accident he brought up fish, that's a Darvashino Mutkavin, that's fine. But over here he intends to fish. It's Darvashino Mutkavin. He just happened to be lucky and he brought up the baby as well. Okay, Amarabba, Cholosh Amdula Gregorit Achat. If a sick person who needs food, and they said that he needs one Gregorit, so I have to go pick a fig. Baratsu, there were all these rizim there. Asara b'nei Adam, beviu asara Gregorot, bevat achat. They brought 10 figs all at once. Turim! Everybody's patur because when they all went out, they intended to do the mitzvah of being merapid the cholo on Shabbos, and we know that you're supposed to be zariz to this, so we say patur. Afilu b'zeh chazer. Even if they come not simultaneously, but sequentially, they do it, we still say they're all patur. Afilu kadam b'ivri b'rishona. Even if they were successful at bringing him back to his health, after the first one, the other 9 are okay because when they went out, it's clear that they intended to bring back something that was mutar on Shabbat. And when they did it, their whole makshav, the whole masiv was done in a manner that was mutar b'Shabbat.
Isn't it one of Turim? Isn't it encouraged?
Yes. Right, that's what Rashi brings down also. Dazar is the chole mishubach. We encourage people to be mechal Shabbat for the chole. And that's why the Gemara in all places says that the Talmud Chacham should do it, the Gadol should always do it, because to show people that it's mutar, that people should not be hesitant in being mechalel Shabbat. By Rava chole shamdu al shtei grogrot, they decide that he needs 2 figs in order to get healthy. You have a choice. Now the tree has 2 figs, but each fig is on a separate branch or a separate little attachment. And then you have another area. We have a bunch of three together that are only one branch or attached on one stem. So if you pick one stem, you get 3. You pick 2 stems, you get 2. So hai minayu, maitina. Which one did we bring him? Shtayim, maitina, dechazule. We bring 2 because that's what he needs. Odelma, shalosh, maitina. You bring 3. Dekamamayit miktira. Because for one picking, you end up with 3. Even though you end up with more than you need, you do less chilul Shabbos. So what's the din? So where it says, pshita, the shalosh, maitina. And there's no question. You bring the 3 because of a mayit in chilul Shabbos. Tosa says, even though we have a din in other places, where it comes to a woman who's cooking on Yom Tov, she's cooking a big pot on Yom Tov, she needs 1 piece of meat. She's allowed to be marbeh, the meat, to put in tons of pieces of meat in there when she's only cooking 1 piece of meat, because it makes it better, it makes the whole pot better. So Tosa says, why don't we know this din already? You're allowed to be marbeh bishurim if you only need 1 item. So too over here. You're allowed to bring 3, even though you're doing 1 action of ksira. Over there she's doing 1 action of bishul, you're allowed to be marbeh than basar. Because it's Yom Tov and Shabbat, no comparison. Yom Tov has a different din by than Shabbat. You can't compare the two. So that's why the Yom Tov dekiel lo cheshina, v'lo dami the Shabbat, so lo nitan litchot. Over there in Yom Tov sounds like it's nitchet legamrei, the gabi is avodot or the gabi is malachot, and therefore we say go ahead and do what you want. But over here you don't have that by Shabbat. So by Shabbat, marbe b'shurim might be an issue that is not true by Yom Tov. Now the Gemara says that got no kamer Rabbi Shmuel. This is how we get back to our Gemara. Because over there, Rabbi Shmuel is only going to say it. Because if you do 3 sa'ah instead of 5 sa'ah, you also minimize the chilul Shabbat when you do that. You have to do less ktsira in that instance. So you're doing less ktsira, we say bring less sa'ah. But over here when you reduce it to 2, you're increasing the chilul Shabbat over here. For bringing 2 instead of 3, you're increasing the chilul Shabbat. Over there, Rabbi Shmuel, vaday shalosh matina. And there, even Rabbi Shmuel will agree. Shmuel in our mission says, mimayit, do more tircha, bimayit chilul Shabbat. It's only when you're mimayit chilul Shabbat. Over here, we're not mimayit chilul Shabbat. He says, do the 3, because you benefit by doing 1 act of ktsira rather than 2 acts of ktsira. Okay, mitzvah ta'omer lavi min hakarov. The mitzvah of the omer is to bring it from somewhere is proximate near Yerushalayim. Lo biker hakarov Yerushalayim. If it yet to ripen, it hadn't reached the point where they were ready for the Omer in the Iswa that was around Yerushalayim. If you don't tell me komakom, you can bring it from anywhere. Masa Shaba Omer migagot srifim, ushte alecha mibakat in socher. So these are places that are very far from Yerushalayim, but you see that the crops were very late that year, meaning that it could have been that in a year where Pesach and Shavuot were very early, and the agriculture follows the solar calendar, whereas we're moving it around the calendar in order to match up with the solar calendar, but it means that it moves. There's a possibility that Pesach and Shavuot were very early, and they didn't have the opportunity to get the grains that they needed. So they had to move away from Yerushalayim, where it ripened faster or earlier, and they got what they needed. So my time, why do you have to bring them from Karov and Yerushalayim? See, by Damon Mishum Carmel, the necessity that it be moist and that it be fresh. So if you bring it from far away, then as Rashi says, Shulei Bazika. The wind takes hold of it, it'll dry out on the way to Yerushalayim, and therefore when you roll it in your fingers, it won't come off, the peel won't come off, it won't be easy to work with. You need Carmel, you need it fresh, and you need it moist. The only way you can do that is if you bring it from close to Yerushalayim. So it's a practical issue. The other possibility is, well, if you can bring it from close, why are you going out far? I mean, that Ein Mavirin al Mitzvot means you have the opportunity to do the mitzvah right here, and you're walking right by it and going somewhere else. So if you happen to do it closer, do it closer. Why go out further away? There was a civil war amongst the Chashmonaim, which eventually brings Rome into the picture. It's a civil war between two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, who's going to take over the kingdom. So over here it says Hyrcanus is on the outside, Aristobulus in the inside. Those that were the inside, Aristobulus, they used to, his people used to lower down baskets full of money. And they gave them the korbanot that they needed, the kvasim that they needed to bring the korban to meat every day. In that they respected that the avodat hamikdash had to go on. This was a civil matter about who's going to be the king. When it came to religious matters, they allowed that activity to continue, even though they were laying siege to Yerushalayim at this point. There was one elderly gentleman who knew chokhmah yivanit. Lazlahem b'chokhmah yivanit, he winked at them, he hinted to them the chokhmah yivanit, which is a lashon that uses implications, indications. It's a lashon through actually a little bit of ramazim, of hints. So he did it. He spoke to them in that manner. So he says, Amar lahem, kol zman shoskim ba'avudayin imsarim yedchem. As long as you allow them to continue to do the avoda, nothing's going to change. The circumstances will not change. The machar, shoshalu lahem dinarim b'kuba, like daily, they brought down the money. Ba'alu lahem chazir. Instead, they brought up a chazir. Kevin shiagia l'chatzi choma. Once they were raising the, they didn't realize it was a chazir. They started to wheel it up. He got there, not sipar nav b'choma. He stuck his nails into the wall. The whole Eretz Yisrael shook. Right? The earthquake, 400 parsaot by 400 parsaot. Aror, shigadel chazir. Cursed is the one who is megadel chazir, and that is the Mishnah in Baba Kama that says that it's asur legadel chazirim b'chol makom, not allowed to raise chazimim. Aror, shilamid b'no chokhmat yivanit. That's the Mishnah at the end of Sulta. That it's cursed to be the one who teaches his child chokhmat yivanit. Now the problem with that is that in the Mishnah in Sulta it says that happened by pumus of Titus. That gzera happened in the time of Titus. As Rashi points out over here, there's a huge gap, or Tosus over here points out there's a huge gap over here. Talking about Titus, that's the end of Bayit Sheni. Talking about the Chashmonaim, even according to the Seder Olam Rabbah, that's 100 years at least before the Churban HaBayit. So you have a big gap between them. Even though Rashi over there in Sota comments and says that it's Pumas over that, he says that Titus is much earlier, that it wasn't the time of Churban HaBayit. So it's a very difficult Rashi. But Rashi is obviously trying to reconcile with the Gemara over here. So Tosus says there were two stages. Over here it was an Arur. They said they cursed people. Over there it became a Sur. He says over there they had the option. Arur, if you want to take the curse, go ahead and do it. But then later on they made it a Sur the Gamret. So here there were stages in the Isur. Or he says in this case they made it a Sur. People didn't accept it. Wasn't accepted by the Tzibor. The latter one in the time of Sota by the one in the Titus, that was accepted. Tosus is coming up with ways to reconcile the two Gemaras. The Marashah in Sota has actually an interesting explanation of how to deal with Rashi, saying that the bringing of the Romans in to solve the problem of the civil war between Hyrcanus and Aristobulus was the beginning of the end that led to the eventual destruction of the Mikdash de Titus, and that's why the Gemara or the Mishnah in Sota says Pumus of Titus. And over here we're talking about Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, and Rashi connects between the two of them saying it happened simultaneously at the same time. Truthfully, they might have happened at different times. The Marsha suggests the Pumus of Titus and the destruction of the Mikdash was a result of what transpired by Aristobulus and Hyrcanus. It's a very nice explanation to resolve this seeming stira between the two sugyot. As well as Chachmat Yivanit over here again, the permission to learn Chachmat Yivanit, the Gemara in Soto talks about if it's necessary. For people who have to deal with Machut, that's why the family of Rabbi Gamliel were allowed to learn Chachmat Yivanit, because they needed to communicate with the Machut. They were people who were in power, and therefore since they were dealing with people in power, they had to be able to communicate with them, therefore it was permissible for them. That story in our Mishnah matches up with this case of the civil war. Since they were laying siege around Yerushalayim, the armies ate up or ruined everything that was there, and there was nothing to bring the Omer from. They had to bring it from further away. Kimata, when they were bringing the Omer, they didn't know where to bring it from. Omer, Achruzo, they announced, they made an announcement. Anybody know where we can bring it from? Atu Harasha, along came somebody who was a mute. He was able to hear, but not to speak. Otiv Chadayada Igra, put one hand on the roof. Chadayada Tsrifa, and then he put one hand on a Tsrif is like a hut or some sort of, not a proper roof, but covering of some sort on the top. Amar Lahu Mordechai. Over here, Rashi says this is Mordechai from the time of Achashverosh. Again, which would make it very difficult to match the cases up. If you say it's Mordechai from the time of Achashverosh, and it does not match up with the Aristobulus and Hukunus, who were at a much later time, there's no way that they overlapped. Again, you could suggest either they're arguing over here, this is a, they think the case is different. As Tosfos says that in Masechet Ediot, there's a different din over there that says that this case, Aristobulus and Hukunus, was about when the Tamid Shoshachar was brought at 4 Shaot. That was the latest time the Tamid Shoshachar was brought. So they use this to explain a different case, Aristobulus and Hukunus, not our case over here. So obviously, the second day over here, when talking about Mordechai, could think that the case here is talking about Mordechai, and the case of Hukunus and Aristobulus talking about the Tamid Shoshachar. Because of that, Tosfos knows that the Mordechai here cannot be the Mordechai of the Megillah, but rather, Mordechai was a paradigmatic figure. And when we're talking about the Mordechai here, they were like the Mordechai, but not the actual Mordechai. Although he does suggest that maybe the latter half of the story here is really dealing with the real Mordechai. But at least with the situation with the Omer coming from Gagot Tzrifim, that couldn't be the actual Mordechai because it's too far apart from him and the Bnei Hashmonaim. They have to come up with ways to reconcile because obviously we're dealing with many different time periods. You know, Mordechai, Aristobulus and Hukunus, which is Bnei Hashmonaim, and then you're dealing with Titus. These are all very, very different time periods. He put one hand on the roof, one hand on the Tzrifim. Oh, Mordechai, Mika Duchta Deshma Gagot Tzrifim. Oh, Tzrifim Gagot. He was able to interpret what he was saying. Is there a name of a place? Gagot Tzrifim, Tzrifim Gagot, but Kuvash Kachua. They found this place called Gagot Tzrifim, and that's where they brought it from. Again, the Shtei Lechem, they know where to bring it from. Achrazu, they announced, where do we bring it from? Atahu Gavra Charosha, again, this mute person came along. Otiv Yadea Eine, he put one hand on his eyes. Chadayada Sichra, he put the other one on the, actually there's the chor, it was a hole in the wall to put the lock into. He put it in there. Amar Lo Mordechai, Mika Duchta Deshama Ein Socher, Socher Ein. These two, but Kubashmu, that there's a place called Ein Socher. Hanu Shlosh Nashim, the Aitu Shlosh Kinim. These three women brought their kinim, they brought their birds that they were chayab to bring as carbonot. Chadamar the Zivati, one said it was for my Ziva, for I was a Ziva. Chadamar for my Limati, over here we're going to die, said Limati means that my blood was flowing like the ocean. Vichadamar the Onati, that it came, that I had blood outside the Onam, and my Ziva came, and now it's my eighth day to bring it. Savorbina Zivati, Ziva Mamash. Limati, Liyamati Mamash. Lonati, Lonata. So each of these would be kulu chad chatat chadola. They're bringing it as a zava. Then the korban that a zava brings at the end to be material itself is one chatat and one ola. So they thought to bring these kinim as one chatat and one ola for each of these women. Amalu Mordechai shema bezov sikna, shema biyam sikna, shema beina sikna. Maybe they're bringing it here because they were in danger. She was in danger. She was in life endangering circumstances because she was flowing blood, or because she was out at sea, or there was something in her eye that made her that she was in danger. So therefore, what do? They were no there to bring kinim if they got better. Well, the neder that's brought when it comes to kinim is kulo olot ninu, that they have to bring totally as olot. But they went and checked it out, and they found that that was true. That was true, that it was all olot. So Mordechai saved them from making the mistake of bringing in one as an olah and one as a chatat. That's what we have in the Mishnah when it comes to Mishnah and Shkalim. Tachia la kinim, the one who took care of the kinim in the Mikdash was Petachia, ze Mordechai. Tachia and Mordechai is synonymous. That's Mordechai who was running the kinim. Why was his name Petachia? His name is Mordechai. He's able to understand hints and information and be doreshtem, be odeh b'shivim lashon. And he knew the 70 languages. Says, what's so special about Mordechai that he knows the 70 languages? Everybody knows that. People that are bright. People who are good looking. The strong or tall people. People who are of age already, who engender a certain amount of respect. Blake Shafim, Rashi says over here, it's unbelievable. Rashi says Kshafim, because if this person, you're unable to kill them with one of the mitot beitin, you can use Kshafim to kill him. That's what Rashi says. Tosa says, no, Blake Shafim is so that you understand whether they're doing kishuf or not. You need to understand that. How do you understand it? If you understand Kshafim, Bildim Shivim Lashon, and they have to know 70 languages. Tosa says, it's got to be Lab Dafka. Not everybody in the Sanhedrin has to know Shivim Lashon, but somebody or a cart together, they need to know it. Or maybe in Dinim Amonos, you don't need to know it, but by the din and fashas, you do need to know it, because shalote esaneder shumad min piyab tumergaman. You need to be able to listen to the edim directly, not to hear it through an interpreter. We need to know that you accepted the testimony without an interpreter in between. He was able to mix up lishonot, mix together differing languages, and be doresh them. In the Nechemya, it's talking about Mordechai. It says that he was a balshein. So here they're thinking that it's a conjugation of bolel lashon. Someone who mixes up lishonot, someone who mixes and matches words in order to create either a new language or a different understanding. But we see that he had great control over language, he had great understanding of language, and that would also explain, as the Gemara is probably thinking, the case of what happened in the Megillat Esther, where he was able to capture big time the Teresh because he understood what they were doing or understood what they were planning. The same idea that he had some understanding of language or what people were hinting at, and therefore he was able to capture them. Okay, we'll stop here.